Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Well, it's really good to be with you this morning, and we're glad that you're able to join us. If you're watching online, we're so glad you're with us as well. My son passed me the mic this morning. Forgot to put the batteries in. I'm not sure whether that was deliberate or not when he heard I was speaking. But praise God, we're all powered and ready and running now. Praise God. And it's good to be with you. It's even more encouraging to know that I've been grouped with the younger generation who've been speaking over the summer. As Nigel said earlier, if the cap fits, then wear it. And I'll wear it all day long. And but haven't we been blessed by them over the last few weeks? They've done really well. And let's encourage them. And it was brought to my attention that last time I stood here, I don't know if you remember, I talked about how when you visit some people, from the moment you step in, they begin telling you about something that you've already heard many times before. In fact, often you could probably tell it to them better than they could tell it to you themselves. So you don't know anyone like that. And as Matt and Nigel were watching upstairs this, and I don't know if you're watching now, Matt and Nigel, but hopefully before you fall asleep this time, I started... there you are, Matt. There you are, Matt. Just checking you're still awake. You see, I just knew you were. And I started to recount the story about Emily's scooter that we'd got her for Christmas that wouldn't work. And as soon as I started, Matt and Nigel both looked at each other and said, "I've heard that before." Well, caught red-handed, wasn't I? So what can I say? But it's funny, though, because a week later, when I asked what I'd have preached on, they couldn't remember. But as soon as I say something that I've repeated before, they've heard it all before. I can't work it out, really. It's funny how it works, isn't it? But hopefully you'll stay awake long enough to hear something new today, praise God. Because we may forget, but God never forgets, hallelujah. God always remembers. He sees and remembers everything about each one of us. Our deepest needs, the inward cries of our heart, the things that no one else knows about. He cares about. He knows. So I want you to be encouraged this morning. Because some of you are thinking, where is God in the midst of this? You're asking for an answer and it seems like there's nothing but silence. And you're saying, God, where are you? I want to say God is still there. Because when he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," his word is unchanging. He is the same God yesterday, today and forever. So he is still with you. And sometimes you have to just keep on walking where you cannot see the way ahead. You just have to keep on going and work it out. And God will work it out. Sometimes the only thing you can do is to keep going. And I'll guarantee that he will show up just at the right time, praise God. Just when you need him, he will be there because he's always faithful. He is a faithful God and he is always faithful. Even when we are not faithful, the Bible says, he remains faithful. Job 23 verse 10, Job says, "When he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold." And I believe there's people here are going to come forth as gold. And God will work it out as you continue to do as Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, continue to work out, to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, hallelujah, to will and to act according to his good purpose. Not our good purpose, but his good purpose. Might not be an easy journey, might be a bit rough on the road, but God's got good suspension, hallelujah. He guarantees the final destination, praise God. And that's one thing you can be sure of, a hope that is steadfast and certain. And I want to encourage you this morning to know that God is there in the midst. God is there with you and that God has not left you. And I want to do it through one of the Psalms that I'm sure many of you know very well. You could probably sing it to me now. It's the 23rd Psalm. And the title of my message this morning is The 5 P's of the 23rd Psalm. All will be revealed. But beforehand, let's just read Psalm 23 together. If you've got your sword, you can open it at Psalm 23. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. God will add his blessing to his word. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Father, I lay myself at your feet, totally reliant on you, Father, this morning. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And give us ears to hear what you would say to the church, the Spirit would say to the church, to the individuals of the church this morning, Lord, that we would hear you, and we would not only just hear you, but we would act on what we hear. Amen. We thank you, Lord, and we give you the praise. And God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Now, I was traveling to London the other day, and I was listening to Premier Radio. Other radio stations are available. And they were asking the question, if you were marooned on a desert island and could take only one book of the Bible with you, which would it be? So there was people all phoning in and giving answers and all sorts of answers. Many people said the Gospels, one of the Gospels. Some said Revelation. Some said one of Paul's epistles. And I understood all these. Some said Proverbs. Some said Genesis. And someone even said the book of Nahum. I thought, cool, you're weird, aren't you? But for me, it has to be the book of Psalms. You've got everything in the book of Psalms. You've got Psalm 139, God's complete knowledge and care, he knit us together in our mother's womb. You've got the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, all about God's word. What can you do to keep your lips pure by knowing God's word? You've got Psalm 19 about God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Hallelujah. You've got my favorite of all, Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Hallelujah. You know your word. Praise God. And then, of course, you've got Psalm 23, which many of us probably know off by heart. And what I love about this is it's pretty much all-encompassing and all-embracing, covering everything we need to know and understand about God and everything we need to do to experience God's complete knowledge, provision, and care. So what are the five P's? Well, the first P is perspective. What is your perspective of God? The psalmist David says here, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's his perspective and understanding of who God is. I wonder what your perspective is. I wonder what God is, who God is to you. There were three men who were sitting together discussing their perspectives on their new wives and the wives' duties that they would have about the home. Pastor Tony had married a woman from Watford and had told her that she was going to do the dishes and the house cleaning. And it took a couple of days, but on the third day, he came home to a clean house and dishes washed and put away. Praise God. Matt had married a woman from Jersey. He'd given his wife orders that she was to do all the cleaning, all the dishes. This right, Matt? All the dishes and the cooking. The first day he didn't see any results, but the next day he saw it was better. And by the third day he saw the house was clean, the dishes were done, and there was a huge dinner on the table. Got it sewn up. Tim also had a perspective and had also married a girl from Watford. He told her that her duties were to keep the house cleaned, dishes washed, lawn mowed, laundry washed, and hot meals on the table for every meal. He said the first day he didn't see anything, second day he didn't see anything, but by the third day some of the swelling had gone down a little and he could see a little bit out of his left eye, enough to fix himself a bite to eat and load the dishwasher. You see, for those of you who think you know Sim, I tell you, I tell you what, perspective is everything. Perspective is everything. It makes all the difference. And David saw that the Lord was his shepherd. That was David's perspective. A shepherd is one who protects the sheep from animals that would otherwise attack them, making sure they're fed, keeps them from wandering, generally takes care of the whole flock and keeps them in good health. Describes care of a group of sheep or other animals or even people. We are the flock of his pasture. Psalm 100 and verse 3, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So even if you don't see him as your shepherd yet, the fact is that he desires to see him the ways that you will understand, that only you will understand. You see, God reveals himself in ways to help you understand who he is. He's not someone else's God, he's your God. He is someone else's God, but he's your God as well. And you are different to everyone else. I am different. Well, I know, perhaps I'm a bad example. We're all different. And he shows and reveals himself to us in different ways so that we can truly understand and get to know who he is with our own perspective. And he wants to show you who he is. Maybe you need to change your perspective of who God is and understand the implications of that in your life. Maybe you need to accept the Good Shepherd as your personal Savior and remember that he did indeed lay down his life for you, a sheep who had wandered and gone his own way. What is your perspective? Because perspective is crucial. And then we read on to the second P, which stands for position. Now, yesterday evening, myself, Pastor Tony, Josh, Ben and Koye had the dubious pleasure of moving a piano from a first floor flat down to the back where our van was. We estimated, what did you say, Josh, about 300k? No, you said about 700k, didn't you? About 300k, and certainly enough for a good workout. And it was fine to move to the front door, but getting it through the door was slightly a different issue, shall we say. And that was where the fun began. We had to lift it on its side and try and angle it and get it through around the corner. All different interesting exercises. But the way it was positioned made the difference between us getting it out the door or not, or staying where it was. Now, for some of you, you need to position yourself differently to get out from where you're at, to get out from the circumstances that you're in. You need to reposition yourself to be able to get through the door. Because God has opened the door that no man can shut, but you need to reposition yourself to get through that door that no man can shut, hallelujah, to get through and get away. Now, worse than that was the fact that it then had to go down about 20 steps to ground level, at which point Pastor Tony and I were correctly positioned at the top. You're not stupid, are we? Wisdom. Old age and wisdom, I think. You can be old age and I'll be wisdom. And Josh, Ben and Koye were rather less conveniently positioned at the bottom of the piano, carrying all the weight and taking all the burden. And boy, did we hear about it. My goodness, I've never heard so much belly aching in all my life. Josh had every excuse under the book. I've done weights this week. I've done my legs this week. I can't hardly stand. I've done it. I've never heard such stuff in my life. But you see, some positions are better than others. And in Psalm 23, in verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. God wants to position you in green pastures and beside quiet waters, because that's where he can minister to you and where he can give you rest. And note the words the psalmist uses here, lie down. Now that suggests to me he wants you resting. The original Hebrew word is robats, which means to stretch oneself out or to lie stretched out. In other words, that's relaxing. Now, I have occasionally, every now and then, been known to fall asleep on the sofa in front of the TV. and wake up the following morning wondering where on earth I am. Now, I can, it doesn't happen often, does it, Sim? And I can have the same amount of hours sleep on the sofa as I can sleeping horizontally in the bed, stretched out and lying down, assuming there's room for me next to the dog, that is. But because the position on the sofa is wrong, the sleep quality is not the same. And just as we need to lie down, stretched out, and position ourselves to receive from God, some of us are trying to receive it sitting up. And God wants us stretched out, lying down. He wants us to position ourselves in the position he wants to be able to minister to us. Now, note as well, it says, he makes me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes God has ways of stopping us in our tracks and forcing us to take some downtime. So let's be wise enough to lie down first before he makes us to lie down. And when we do, and where he puts us, then we will receive from him. We need wisdom, and we need obedience to do what he's telling us to do. So where does he put us? He puts us in green pastures. The Hebrew word is deshe, which talks of fresh, new grass, young vegetation. There's nothing stale about God's presence. Nothing like sometimes when I walk into our children's bedrooms in the morning and think, my gasping for breath, thinking, my goodness me, there's a window there, for goodness sake, open the window. There's nothing refreshing about what hits me between the eyes. But I tell you what, with God, there are quiet waters and fresh pastures.
Thank you, Lord.
Quiet waters, not like Paignton seafront when it's blowing a hoolie. This is still, quiet, peaceful waters away from the storms of life, away from the hustle and bustle. How is your positioning today? Are you taking the time to position yourself in these places, God's places? Because when you do, in verse 3 it says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Need some restoration today? Need some guidance today? Who doesn't? You need to see God as your healer, your restorer, and your guide. Your perspective needs to change. And you need to position yourself for him to be able to do this for you. He restores my soul. The Hebrew word nefesh, which means the life, the center, the very being of the living creature. It covers body, mind, soul, and spirit. He's got it all covered. He renews us from the inside out. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. So whatever needs fixing, your physical body, that headache, your mind, your mental well-being, your emotions, any aspect of your health and well-being, God has got it covered. Amen. And there's no small print in the cover, hallelujah,
Amen.
Except to get you in the position where he can do it for you. You need him to guide you? The guidance comes in the green pastures by the quiet waters, where you've got time to hear and listen and sit still and hear. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know. Be still first and then know that I am God. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, in order to give you a future and a hope. That some of us don't stay still long enough to hear what those plans are for our lives. But he says, when you call out to me and come and pray to me, I'll hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, beside the green pastures, beside the still waters. So perspective is important. Position is key. Note the orders of these P's as well. You're never going to position yourself correctly until you have the right perspective of who God is.
Amen.
And until you're positioned correctly, you're not going to receive all that God has for you. And the third P is the P for protection. Because verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I know this because of my perspective and because of my positioning. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. When you're correctly positioned, you'll never doubt that God has got your back. Years ago, when we were at our old church back in Watford, there was a loo near the back door. And the door to the loo was, let's say, just a little bit temperamental. Jessica was 5 or 6 or something like that, and gone to the loo on the way out. And I suddenly heard this cry for help saying, "Daddy, help! The door's stuck." Oh dear, I thought, what can the matter be? Jessica's stuck in the lavatory. Well, there was, I have to confess, I did think that. But there was two things. The first was that when she got stuck, she didn't think to herself, if I cry for help, I wonder if Dad will come to my rescue. She might think that now. But she didn't think that at the time. It never even crossed her mind that I would leave her in there from Sunday till Saturday. Nobody knew she was there. She knew I'd be there to help her get out. And secondly, when I heard the cry for help, I didn't think, "Ah, well, never mind. We've got 6 more children. Not going to miss one, are we? Doesn't matter, I'll just leave her in there. Well, she was naughty yesterday. It'll do her good to be stuck in there for a week. Doesn't deserve to be let out." I was straight there. And I didn't rest until she was safely out. Amen. And you know, that's how God is with us. Yeah. And that's how we need to understand the perspective of how God wants us to know that he is with us. Because some of us think, yes. Because of the relationship that she had with me and I had with her, there was no doubt in her mind. Because of her position and perspective, she knew and was confident that I would come for her. She never doubted that protection was there, and neither should you with God. "Ah, yes, but you know what I did yesterday? Don't think God will forgive me for this today. I think he'll just leave me in this mess." You don't know your God. Come on. Psalm 103, 1-5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and never forget any of his benefits. He continues," present tense, "to forgive all your sins. He continues," present tense, "to heal all your diseases. He continues," present tense, "to redeem your life from the pit." And he continuously, on and on, again and again, surrounds you with gracious love and compassion. Hallelujah. He keeps satisfying you with good things, and he keeps renewing your youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We get younger every day when we look in the mirror. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And if anyone says, "I need a new mirror," I wonder how well you know him. Get positioned correctly and you will find out. Position yourself correctly and you'll find, and some of you need to change your position to find out just how good God is and what he has for you. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod used to protect the sheep and defend them. And the shepherd's staff used to guide and keep them on the right path. The hook in the crook used to grab a sheep that was wandering or falling and bring it back to the right path." That's what God does with us. Until your perspective is right, until your position is right, you're not going to know and understand the protection of God, especially when things get tough. In, as the Amplified says, the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death. And note that it's just a shadow. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know shadows can't hurt you? No. Did you know shadows can't hurt you? I've never said, "I know my children sometimes. There's a shadow over there that moved." We had a friend in Watford, didn't we, who came to a conference with us. And we were, before we were married, I was sharing a room with him. And he was a nervous disposition, shall we say. And we came back, and he was one of these sensible people who went to bed about 10 o'clock in the evening, like Sim. And whereas I came back, he was fast asleep. And it was about midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it was. I came and crept in. And as I crept in, I thought, I better not wake him or there will be trouble. And I crept in, and as I got to the counter, I started just taking stuff out of my pocket and getting rid of it. And I heard him move. I thought, oh no, I've woken him up. So I stopped and froze. Counted to 10, let him go back to sleep. And then I moved again. And as I moved again, all I heard was this. I said, what on earth is the matter? He said, there was a shadow over there and suddenly the shadow moved. I'm thinking, well, it was me, idiot. I just come in, didn't I? That's what you think? I'm a shadow. I'm the real thing. I am. He said, yeah, but I saw a shadow. Well, that was it. He was awake for the rest of the night. He was talking to me, counselling. He wanted counselling. He wanted in-depth things. Oh, dear, everything. And I'm thinking, I just want to go to sleep now. And he's wide awake and he's saying, oh, his head was buzzing. He said, oh, but this happened and this happened in my childhood and this happened when I was younger. And this, I thought, goodness sake, go to sleep, will you? Why on earth did I move? Shadows cannot help hurt you, okay? And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Because that's where the good shepherd steps in. Praise God. And what happens when we're correctly positioned and know the protection of God? We also know the fourth P, the provision of God. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Hallelujah. This speaks of God's extravagant and abundant provision to meet all our needs, Philippians 4:19, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is not just a full cup. This is a Luke 6:38 cup, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is a God's Mr. Kipling blessing, Ephesians 3:20, to him who's able to make exceedingly abundantly good cakes, and exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Hallelujah. When you are correctly positioned, you're protected. Your household is protected. Your provision is protected. Your finances are protected. Your possessions are protected. And your provision is sure and never lacking. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week, Emily went out to buy some paint to finish decorating the bedroom. We've kept her busy over the summer. And there was none left in painting, so she had to go across to Torquay for it. So she got it, loaded it into the car and drove home, not realising that as she raced back, cornering on two wheels, unfortunately the paint pot had fallen on its side and the lid had opened. And instead of decorating her bedroom, she'd managed to decorate the floor of the car instead. And it wasn't just a little bit. It was everywhere. It was a Luke 6:38, pressed down, shaped together, running over. So Tim instructed his wife that one of her duties was to clean this paint up. And the swelling has just gone down enough for me to read this sermon this morning. It was everywhere. You know, that's the provision and the blessing of God that he wants to pour out on us. What was this provision like? It was overflowing. And where did this provision occur? Well, I've got a whole nother sermon on that one, but don't worry, I'm not going to preach it this morning. The abundance is there in the presence of my enemies, in the tough places, in the midst of the storm, where others are only just surviving. You, child of God, are thriving. Hallelujah. Remember the banking crash? There is no crash in heaven. Remember the credit crunch? There is no credit crunch in heaven. Remember the pandemic? There is no pandemic in heaven. God's people are supposed to thrive in these times when everyone else is struggling to survive, so we can show who our God is, and God can show off, hallelujah, to the rest of the world and say, I am the one who created it all. I am the one who keeps you, holds you, guards you, guides you. I will keep you. I will never let you fall. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am there for you yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging, hallelujah. I'm not saying it's an easy ride, but I'm saying that I'm saying God's provision is certain and sure, and that for you, the overflow will come. There's John 7:38. The one who believes in me, as the scripture says, will have rivers of living water flowing from his heart. Hallelujah. There is the overflow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where are we up to? Don't worry, only one to go. As your perspective is right, as you position yourself, then you will know the protection of God and you will know the abundant provision of God. And what I love most of all is that it's not just a temporary arrangement. This is not just a momentary blessing. This is something that is the fifth P. This is a permanent blessing that lasts forever. I wonder if I can have the band back, please. Verse 6 says, surely goodness, mercy and unfailing love, in the Amplified, shall follow me some of the days of my life. Shall follow me every now and then. Shall follow me on the days when I'm getting it right and not making mistakes. I think you get the message. No, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That sounds pretty permanent to me, hallelujah. I think the psalmist David has got it sewn up. I wonder if you've got it sewn up this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever.
Hallelujah.
What's your perspective of who God is? How are you positioned to receive his protection and his provision? Because if you're not in the right place, you're going to be struggling to know and understand and receive the fullness of God's complete knowledge and care, his divine protection, and his abundant provision over your life. Maybe you need to adjust your position today. Reposition yourself at the foot of the cross. Reach out and touch the very hem of his garment. Maybe you need to get right with him today, even for the very first time, or if you've strayed away, maybe he's calling you back today. He's heard that cry for help. He's responding to you right now. So you need to get yourself in the right place that was designed for you to be in right from the very start. Maybe you need to decide to find that still place of quiet waters today for God to be able to restore your soul. I believe that there's some restoration work that God wants to do even today, some healing in his presence, in the quiet place beside the still waters and the green pastures. I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but I'd like everyone just to bow their heads for a moment, please. Because I want to make sure that you have had opportunity to know this God who David talks about and I've talked about this morning. Maybe you've never accepted that he died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. That's fact. Whether you accept it or not, whether it's your perspective or not, that's fact. But today he wants to reconcile you, to reconcile back to him, because he made a way through the death of his son on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. He died for you. And you can accept his offer this morning by choosing to ask for his forgiveness and accept his death and resurrection on your behalf. Accept the gift of God, the priceless gift of God, and to put your trust in him this morning and change your perspective. I don't know if there's anyone here who needs to make that decision this morning and who's ready to make that decision this morning, but I want to give you opportunity to do it. If you're watching online, I want to give you opportunity to do it as well, because we pray a simple prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you, but it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. But if you fall into that category, or you've wandered away from the truth and you've once walked with God and circumstances have taken you away and you need to get your life back right with God once again, then I'm appealing to you this morning to say you need to respond to the call of God. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's anyone here who knows they need to make that decision this morning, I'd just like you to pop your hand up, catch my attention, and then we're going to pray a prayer together. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to do that, who falls into either of those categories? Just quickly pop your hand up, catch my attention. Anyone here this morning? You know God's calling. You know God's calling. Anybody here this morning who needs to do that? We serve an awesome God.
Yes, we do.
We serve an amazing God.
Yes, we do.
Lord, I thank you this morning that you know the state of each and every heart in this place. And Father, you know the needs that are represented here this morning. You know the cry from the depth. You know those who feel like there is no answer at the moment, but you have the answer. And I thank you, Lord God, that through abiding under the shadow of your wings, through dwelling in green pastures and sitting beside quiet waters, we'll find the answer, because there you will guide us in paths of righteousness. The guys are going to lead us in a moment. And I encourage you to make that a Selah moment. There is a river flowing in this building. We've said this. Rivers have bits that flow quickly, and they have bits that are quiet and still, but they're all fresh. There's nothing stale. There's nothing stagnant about the river of God. And I want to encourage you, as the guys lead us this morning, if you need to come to the altar, come to the altar. Allow God to restore your soul. If you want to just sit where you are, if you want to stand where you are, that's fine. But receive something of what God wants to do this morning. Because he wants to make a difference. And as you reposition yourself this morning, you're going to see the difference that God makes in your life. The transformation power of the Almighty Living God. Hallelujah. Where man cannot, that's where God steps in. And you're going to see God stepping in. You're going to see God opening a door. You're going to see God making a way where there is no way. Because he is the way maker. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Let's allow the guys to minister, and let's stand together this morning as we just receive something from God this morning. And if you need to come to the altar, I encourage you to find that place this morning. Find that place this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.